you?
I think they're just anxious, you know, to see everybody.
What? With our friends?
Last week, we were adults before we moved here. We turned 19 again.
It's a reunion! The friend group is back! You're never too old
to hustle. I know you love your college friends, but every time you get together with them, you all become a bunch of little...
You remember Felix, my partner?
So loud.
We've got like 20 years of grievances built up. It all just gets so competitive.
I love my life. I just wonder what would happen if it was blown to smithereens and I got to start all over again.
So it has nothing to do with your affair?
It's a stupid college hookup. It never ended. Why do you insist on calling it an affair?
Because you guys are married to other people and having sex with each other.
Dave Player on 720 WGN. So there's a brand new comedy that just debuted on Netflix called Friends from College that stars Fred Savage, who is one of Chicago's very own. One of his first starring roles was in the Rob Reiner comedy, The Princess Bride, and he starred for six seasons as Kevin Arnold in the throwback sitcom, one of my favorites, The Wonder Years, which debuted nearly 25 years ago. Fred is also a director, he's a producer, and he's back on the small screen, and he's joining us tonight. What's up?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and particularly a pleasure to talk to WGN. It's always great to talk to you guys.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you're talking about growing up in Glencoe, so you spent a good chunk of your early life here.
Yeah. No, I mean, I lived on Park Avenue in Glencoe and grew up in the same house my dad grew up in.
Oh, that's cool.
Until I was about like probably 13 or 14 years old.
So when you were doing movies and television in the early years, you were just out there for the season, and you would come back here, and this was still home for you.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I would go, you know, to location or to LA or to Vancouver or to wherever the work was, wherever the job was, and then I would always come back home to Glencoe.
So what took you out to California? At what point in your life did your folks say, hey, you know, this kid's talented? Or did you say, hey, you know, I really want to do this? How did you make it out to California to try your way in acting?
Well, I started acting when I was in Chicago. I mean, I started doing, commercials downtown. And, I did a whole bunch of movies when I was young, when I was still living in Chicago. So, I moved out to Los Angeles once The Wonder Years started. We shot the pilot of The Wonder Years. I came back to L.A., and then our first season was short. Our first season was six episodes. And I came to L.A. for that, and then I went back. And then as my family as my parents really started to realize it was going to be a longer-term commitment, we started to slowly relocate out here. But it wasn't until... The Wonder Years was kind of up and running that we relocated.
Now, you were mentioning you did a bunch of television shows. You did like a reboot of The Twilight Zone. You did Crime Story. I remember you on Crime Story. But the first big film you did was The Princess Bride, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did one movie before that when I was really young, when I was about 8 years old, called The Boy Who Could Fly.
Oh, right.
And then Princess Bride was the movie I did right after that one.
Okay. Now, I know you did a movie with Judge Reinhold called Vice Versa.
We actually shot in Chicago.
And you shot it here.
Yeah.
I remember The Princess Bride, too, had all kinds of your bedroom, like, had all kinds of Chicago stuff around it. So Chicago has kind of followed you.
Yes, no, it has. And that was actually because I wish I could say that was my doing. I mean, I loved it. But, William Goldman, who wrote the book that the movie was based on, is a Chicago guy. And so all of those Chicago elements that were on the set were in the original book.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, this Vice Versa, that's how you got a casting director saw you in Vice Versa, and that's kind of how you got the Wonder Years gig?
Yes, that's exactly how that came about.
Okay.
I'd done this film called Vice Versa, and actually the creators of the Wonder Years, a couple and a writing team named Carol Black and Neil Marlins, they saw that movie and had their casting directors contact us and say, "Oh, hey, we thought you'd be great for the show."
That's awesome. I'm a little bit older than you, but I grew up like in the late '70s, watching like Happy Days and stuff. And this Wonder Years was really the next generation of those shows. It was really a look back at a fonder, simpler time of life. You know, it was so well done, so well written, so well put together. It was really one of the first single camera comedies that are out there, which are so common now.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, you know, it certainly wasn't the first by any stretch. But at that time, there weren't many out there. And so It was kind of a unique way visually to tell the story. And I think really helped, you know, embrace and encapsulate kind of the nostalgia of that era.
You really grew up on this show. What do you remember about the early days? Because you were pretty young.
You know, I have nothing but positive memories of doing that show. You know, I remember it was very sad leaving my friends. You know, I was hard to leave Chicago. But I had just a great time. I loved being in L.A. I loved working on the show. It was just nothing but kind of positive memories.
There was something I read, and you say that, and you said it was just a great set. People respected that there were kids on the set, which is so incredibly important. But I read an interview in Esquire where you talked about an episode where the folks had a party and the adults were playing Twister. And you got a little more than you were bargained for there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, look we did, you know, we worked on that show for 6 years, or maybe a little bit more even, and did, you know, I don't know, over 100 episodes. So, I mean, anytime you get that many people working together for that many years, there's, you know, things are bound to happen. But
sure.
It was definitely a really positive, really friendly set and a great place to grow up.
Yeah. And, you know, I would assume could have been your first kiss on air in life, too, with Dan.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
I would think so with Danica McKellar, who's just lovely. Any favorite episodes from back then that you fondly look on and say, gosh, I really, that was a fun show to do? Like, do you ever see the shows? Do you ever watch them with your kids?
You know, my kids just started watching the episodes, actually, with my my mom started showing them to them recently, like in the last few weeks. So that's been a new thing. And to see them enjoy it and to see them talk about it as much as they are and really react to it and respond to it, seeing this next generation really embrace the show has been thrilling for me. And you know, particularly being my own kids, it's even more exciting.
Well, some of the shows that are on for young people. I got two young kids. I have three young kids, actually, but one's really young, that watch some of the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon stuff. And, you know, not all of it is great quality, so I like it when they throw on a classic program, whether it's from the 70s or the 80s. That, you know, and this one's pretty timeless because it takes place in a certain era. It takes place in the 1960s, so it really never gets old because when you're watching it. But the kids always relate to those situations of getting the girl and dealing with a difficult teacher or dad's coming home, which would be me, a little irritable tonight. But it's just one of those shows that I think everyone's got some kind of connection to, no matter what area you grew up in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that made the show so great then and so timeless is that it really does kind of address universal questions, problems, moments in adolescence that we've all experienced, whether you grew up, you know, in the 60s or the 90s or today, or whether you grew up in the United States or across the world, that people have really responded to it. Because I think there are those kind of transcendent moments in growing up that everyone can relate to and experience.
And you've been doing this for so long, and, you know, you're producing, you're directing now. So you see some of these shows. Back then, and we're talking 80s, 90s, but really there's not a lot of shows that had closure. And, you know, I know you get asked all the time about reunions and stuff. And this is one show where there was really full-on closure when the show ended. You knew where the cast, you know, the characters were going after the show ended. I don't know how you could go back and do, unless you were just hanging out on the set of, like, Fallon's Tonight Show or something like that. But to go back and do so, I think the show ended how it began. It was just a great story that just kind of, you know, made you think about, you know, another era.
I'm glad you feel that way. Thank you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And the entire series just came out on DVD for the first time ever, so it's a great chance to take a look at that. Now, you've continued acting over the years, but you really got your hands in directing and producing. What made you go to the other side of the camera?
You know, directing was something I'd wanted to do ever since I was a kid. You know, when I was on The Wonder Years, I would look at the directors and always wonder, you know, how they made the choices they made and why why they placed the camera in one part of the room as opposed to another. And I was just always fascinated with kind of that art of filmmaking, of you know, behind a television show. And so it was something I had always, you know, it was a dream I always harbored and something I always wanted to do. And, you know, as I got older, I was, you know, I was able to get those opportunities. And I, like I said, it was something I'd always wanted to do, and I couldn't be more thrilled that I've been able to build this directing career. It's probably the thing I'm most proud of, just because it was something I really always wanted to do and really put my mind to it and worked hard and was able to achieve it.
Such a multi-talented guy. You know, have you found real joy in doing things behind the camera and doing the producer and director, or do you like being in front of the camera? Like, what do you prefer a little bit more? Like, what do you really get your heart pumping?
Well, I love working in the television industry. I mean, in comedy in particular. I mean, it's what I grew up doing. It's what I love doing. So to be able to really get to my heart pumping is to know that I'm still working in an industry that's given me so much pleasure and joy and support. You know, all these years later. I mean, to longevity in any career is not something you can take for granted, and particularly not in show business.
Especially when you start so young. Yeah, especially when you start so young.
Yes, the fact that I'm continuing to do it and continuing to get the opportunities to kind of reinvent myself and approach things in different ways at different times of my life, that's really what I'm most excited about.
Fred, you've been guest starring too over the years on shows like, you know, Family Guy, Law and Order, SVU. So you've kept your foot in the door doing all those great things. You've been directing and producing on shows like Modern Family, Two Broke Girls. That's got to be a lot of fun, because I can see on the other side, just watching it as a viewer, some of these shows that you're involved in, they're like the top shows on television that you're a part of.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun to be able to work on those shows. And again, incredibly gratifying. You don't start out on those shows, you know, and so, you know, building a directing career kind of from nothing to, you know, working on some of the best shows on television, it's been a real thrill, and I feel very fortunate. You know, it was a very slow and deliberate build to get to that point. But yeah, now as you say, I'm just working on shows that I absolutely love and that I'm huge fans of, and that, you know, I get to you know, work on, as you mentioned, some of the best shows on television.
Well, stick around. There's more with actor Fred Savage after the news next on 720 WGN.
The next day, Winnie and I came home. Back to where we'd started. It was the 4th of July in that little suburban town. Somehow, though, things were different. Our past was here, but our future was somewhere else. And we both knew, sooner or later, we had to go. It was the last July I ever spent in that town. The next year after graduation, I was on my way.
Paul! Hey, Paul!
Hi!
So was Paul. He went to Harvard, of course. Studied law. He's still allergic to everything.
Thanks a lot.
Listen, I'll be right back. Hang on one second.
As for my father, well...
How are you doing?
Good.
Welcome home.
We patch things up.
Norma!
Hey, we were family. For better or worse.
Hey, sis.
One for all... And all for one. Karen's son was born that September. I gotta say, I think he looks like me. Poor kid. Mom, she did well. Businesswoman, board chairman, grandmother, cooker of mashed potatoes. The Wainer stayed on in furniture. Wood seemed to suit him. In fact, he took over the factory 2 years later when Dad passed away. Winnie left the next summer to study art history in Paris. Still, we never forgot our promise. We wrote to each other once a week for the next 8 years. I was there to meet her when she came home with my wife and my first son, 8 months old. Like I said, things never turn out exactly the way you planned.
It's good. It was a good fourth.
Yeah. So you're gonna be a grandpa, huh?
Not bad.
Gray hair and everything?
Yeah, soon enough.
Growing up happens in a heartbeat. One day you're in diapers, next day you're gone. But the memories of childhood stay with you for the long haul. I remember a place, a town, a house, like a lot of houses. A yard like a lot of other yards. On a street, like a lot of other streets. And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey, Dad, wanna play catch?
I'll be right there.
Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to one of Chicago's very own actor, Fred Savage. Fred, there's a difference, truly a difference, between a single-camera comedy like you did with The Wonder Years and the new Netflix show Friends from College, and then there's the sitcoms that are filmed before a live audience that you've also done. Now, do you feel that the single camera lends itself better to a comedy like this?
I think that it really depends on the storytelling. And I also think a lot of people kind of get hung up on, is it single camera, is it multi camera, how are we telling it? And I have to be honest with you, in my experience, when I talk to people, I mean, even my own family, but particularly people just kind of out and about in the world, no one really they don't recognize the difference. And I think that the way you tell the story is really for comedy, for TV shows, for TV comedy, the way you tell the story really pales in comparison to the stories that you're telling. So people aren't going to respond to a show because it's single camera or multi camera, or shot in front of an audience or with a laugh track or not with a laugh track. They're going to respond to a show because they like the characters or because they love the story or they love the comedy. I think that's really the format, the delivery device. I think is less important. You know, I mean, sure. People, especially because, and now more and more people are watching shows. It's not on the television. It's on their computer. It's on their phone. It's on
true.
Their tablet.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think the delivery device of the material is much less significant than the material itself.
I agree. Absolutely agree. Hey, now, Fred, before I let you go, how often do you come back to Chicago? Do you still have family here?
I still have family there. I have two brothers-in-law who live there. I have two nephews and a lovely niece, Sam, Jack, and Charlie, who live in Chicago. And my wife's best friend and my kind of second wife or sister, however you want to call her, Lonnie, lives in Chicago. So we have a lot of really close family who's still there. And Lonnie's parents are there. I mean, there's the people who mean so much to us are still there. My wife's mom is in L.A., and my family is all in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But there's still so many people out there who mean so much to us and are so important. And we get out there. We used to go at least once a year. It's been a little less now just because now we have, you know, little kids and it's getting a little harder, but we try and make it out there, you know, once a year if we can.
Are there certain things as a Chicagoan you have to do when you come here? Like, there's a certain place you have to go? Do you have a, you know, a favorite restaurant? You got a favorite thing you got to drive by just for old time's
sake? Well, it kind of depends on where we're staying. I mean, if we're in the burbs, I have to go to Michael's Hot Dogs. That's just a must.
Okay.
Every time I'm in Chicago.
Neighborhood. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, some of these are going to sound real touristy. Like, we have to go get Garrett. You know, like, if it's hot, we have to walk by and get Garrett.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's certain things, you know, I just knew growing up as a kid that we have to go do. And then, you know, obviously the Art Institute is some place I've gone since I was a little kid, and I love taking my kids to. So, I mean, again, a lot of it's kind of touristy, but you have to remember,
you're not there
very often. Kid,
yeah.
When I was a little kid growing up in Chicago, we would only go downtown
for special occasions. Right,
so
right.
It was to go to the Field Museum or to go to the Art Institute or, to go see, to go get pizza at Duay's. You know, like we were kind of, you know, even though we lived in this, you know, in the suburbs, you know, it was kind of those touristy things that brought us down to the city.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, have you remained a sports fan in Chicago as well?
I mean, Cubs, Bears, Bulls, Hawks, the whole deal.
Yeah, once you're connected, man, you can't get out.
Oh, you can't. You can't at all.
Fred, awesome spending some time with you. Best of luck with the new series, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for talking to me, and I appreciate it. We're very excited.
All right. We'll do it again soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Much more ahead on 720 WGN.